We come and read the scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. Stand.
Let's all stand. First Corinthians 11, 23 through 34, and we will read responsibly. I'll read, then you'll read. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After that same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink and it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye drink this bread, drink this cup, he Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily and be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and he eateth and For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, so they may sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Verse 34 together. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come together after communion, and the rest God will send you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day, Lord, and just having a great Sunday. And just bless the preacher tonight, bless the preacher, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, again, all that you've done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate that. As I mentioned a few moments ago, sometimes I think the Lord's Supper can be a ritual. I know a lot of religions make the Lord's Supper, or communion, same thing, a ritual. And they make it a work. They make it, if you take it, you're going to heaven. The truth of the matter is, and we're going to see that in just a little while, that is not the case. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by our faith in Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. He finished it all on the cross. And tonight, the message is going to, I think, perhaps be a little bit shorter, because we'll have our Lord's Supper here at the end. But I just want to talk about it a little bit, about the time that we call communion. That's the title of it. A time we call communion, or the Lord's Supper. Of all the things we do in the church, the one event that should probably, I think, hold the most meaning is, and should cause us to be more humbled, is the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about causes to be more humbled to the Lord Jesus, and it should bring so much meaning to us. I think that far too often the Lord's Supper is taken, as I mentioned a moment, ritualistically. We kind of do it. Maybe out of duty, we kind of make it commonplace, if you will. It's just something we do every few months. But it's in reality, church, it's far, far more than this. It's far more than this. It's a time that we have an opportunity for the church to worship the Lord. He did it. We commemorate, if you will, all the things that he did at Calvary and the Garden Tomb. It is a time when we can rehearse, if you will, the message of the gospel in the ears who may not know it. And it's also a time to reflect upon our walk with Jesus as individuals. We're going to focus in on that along the way. And tonight, and I wrote a few of these things, so I can't read my writing. I should have typed it. But anyways, there's some of my notes that are written, so bear with me here a little bit. But tonight, after a while, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And I want you to prepare your heart. You know, the points that I give in just a few minutes, I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to draw your attention to the scriptures that we read a while ago about this special time. And as I do walk through these scriptures, please look on your own heart. Examine yourself. The Bible, scripture is very clear about examining yourself as we look into the Lord's Supper. Number one, This time we call communion, number one, it's a time of commemoration. It's a time to remember. The Bible says here in verse number 23 through 25, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Of course, the bread is a type of his body. We're not actually eating his flesh, but it is a type of his broken body. Scripture is very clear about that. And the juice, okay, it is not wine. It is not fermented. It is grape juice. It is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a time to remember. It's a time to commemorate. Paul is reminding us that the Lord's Supper is a time for bringing to mind or calling to mind the great sacrifice and victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we gather around, if you will, the Lord's Supper, we're not offering a new sacrifice. We are remembering the once for all sacrifice read about in Hebrews 10:10. Jesus died one time for all sin. It does not mean that every time we do wrong, there's a lot of religion out there, if you will. We better get our doctrine straight on this. A lot of religion out there that you can lose your salvation and so forth. If I lost my salvation, then that means that the sacrifice the first time of Jesus wasn't good enough. And by the way, it was good enough the first time for eternity. Amen? It's a time of commemoration. The idea is more than just recalling on a special event that took place. It has the idea of stirring up one's mind to relive with Jesus Christ as much of his life, as much of his death, and the resurrection as is humanly possible. It's a time to remember Calvary. It's a time, and every time I take the Lord's Supper, I sit back and I as the bread and the juice is being passed around, I walk through what the Scripture says happened to our Savior Jesus Christ at Calvary. I walk through the betrayal in the garden, and I walk through the Garden of Gethsemane, and I walk through, of course, his betrayal and Judas betraying him. I walk through the court there, and him being tried wrongly, and Barabbas, who deserved death and so forth. A prisoner was released, and Jesus was the one that was killed, if you will. I walk through the mockery, the crowd out there crying out, crucify him, mocking Jesus. I walk through, step by step, the things that Jesus went through. And let me tell you something, if you would do that, boy, you know what? Your salvation would be so much sweeter when you think about the price that was paid for you to go to heaven tonight. Boy, it'd be so much sweeter. Boy, you know what? If you would just think about all that Jesus did for you, if you would just go ahead and think that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, what a price that was right there. For a father to go ahead and say, you know what, son, I gotta have you go to the world, and they're gonna go ahead and sacrifice you, and they're gonna torture you, and you're gonna break you up literally in pieces, and you're gonna shed every drop of your blood for the world's sin. Well, what love that the father had for Jesus. I think of what he went through. I think of his trial. I think of Pilate washing his hands of the decision there. I think of the cat of nine tails wrapped around his back and his body and so forth. At the end of that cat of nine tails, there'd be such things as sharp stone and sharp glass and different things. And they literally, that would wrap right around and grab a hold of his rib cage, and they'd just go ahead and yank that ripping piece of flesh. I'm not trying to be grotesque tonight, but I'm trying to give you truth. That's what our Savior went through for you. I want you to remember that this evening. I go through the fact that they put on a crown of thorns on his head, and I can see the blood coming down over his face, and I go through the nails in his head. I go through the fact that his beard was plucked out and he was spat upon. That's disgusting, but he did it for you. I go through them nails. I go through I think of the fact how they had to have laid that big heavy cross down. Of course, before that, Jesus, they made a weak, mutilated Savior carry that cross up Mount Calvary. It's any wonder that he could even, you know, after a while, there's a fellow by the name of Simon that went ahead and took over. But it's any wonder that Jesus, as mutilated as he was at that time, could even go ahead and have the strength to carry that cross even 100 feet. I think about that. Think about when they got up on Mount Calvary, laying that cross down, taken our limp Savior. I don't think, as cruel as these Roman soldiers were, I don't think they just went ahead and laid him there. They, no doubt, with all the cruelty they've done so far, why would they go ahead and be that easy on him at this time? I can see him throwing our Savior on that cross, taking his hands, taking a nail, taking a hammer. Can you hear the sound of that hammer? When that nail went ahead and pierced his hands, can you, that initial pierce, can you see our Savior's face? Just, can you hear the bang of that nail in his right hand? Can you hear the bang of that nail in his left? Can you hear the that hammer nailing his feet to that cross? Can you see him on that cross between two thieves there, and one, of course, rejected him, and one accepted him? And by the way, you know what? Right there's a beautiful picture that work salvation is not biblical, because right there was a man that accepted Jesus Christ, and he says, and Jesus says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." By the way, let me just stop and say this. What is it that man could do? We hear it, you know, you got to go ahead and do this for salvation. You got to do this for salvation. You got to work for your salvation and so forth. That is unbiblical. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and other scriptures. But the truth of the matter is that man, that thief that was beside Jesus, he couldn't get off that cross and go to church. He didn't have, he was dying within just a few moments. But anyways, and Jesus up there, the conversation between the thieves. Here he is hanging there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gave up the ghost. They took him down off that cross and they put him in the tomb. But praise the Lord, 3 days later he rose again. By the way, that's why we celebrate what we're celebrating here in just a few minutes. What is communion? What is the Lord's Supper? It's a time of commemoration. It's a time to remember that he left heaven to be born in a human body. He became poor that we might become rich. He bore our sins in his own body on that tree. He willingly took our place on Calvary. He shed his blood for our redemption. He conquered death for us forever. He ascended back to heaven to finish his redemptive work and to serve as a high priest. Hey, it's a time to remember. Number two, it's a time of contemplation. Not only are we to remember what Jesus had done for humanity, but we are to contemplate what his sacrifice means to us as individuals. You know, Jesus, he died on the cross to save sinners. The reason why Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost. He died on the cross to save sinners. Let me ask you a question. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Let me ask you another question. Have you been saved? Do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? You can know. The Bible says you can know in 1 John 5:13. Does this sacrifice move your heart toward him in worship to him if you're saved this evening? Does the fact that he is alive forevermore thrill your soul and cause you to bow down before him in humility? We should use this time to reflect on what the work of Christ means to us as individuals. Our minds should reflect on what his death and resurrection accomplished in our lives. It is a time to consider your personal walk with the Lord. Is it what it should be? Is your personal walk with God what it should be? Are you living in a manner, if you will, that pleases him? Is your heart in line with the Lord tonight? It's a time of commemoration. It's time to remember. It's a time of contemplation. It's a time to consider your relationship with the Lord during this special time. And number three, we're really doing well tonight, by the way. It's a time of identification. It's a time where you publicly identify yourself. I'm a child of God. Unashamedly. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul wrote. I'm a child of God. When we take the Lord's Supper, after a while, we're publicly identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, letting people know, I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed of it. You know, let me say this. It is possible for a lost person to partake of the Lord's Supper and never be saved. By the way, the event that we partake of, the Lord's Supper we partake of after a little while, has no saving power. Has no saving power. Jesus is that saving power, not this event that will be taken in just a little while. But there are those who are saved. It is a time for us to declare publicly who we are. It's a time for us to declare publicly, I am a child of God. And again, I ask you the question I asked a while ago. Are you? Are you a child of God this evening? Those who have been saved by grace boldly identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know what? You ought not be ashamed of him. When you walk through the cross in Calvary and see our almost naked Savior hanging on that cross, very embarrassing situation. But why was he there? He was not ashamed of you. Why is it we would be ashamed of him? Why is it that we would be ashamed to publicly identify ourselves with Christ? It's easy in church, isn't it? It's easy to look the part. I'm all dressed up spiffy. Amen. It's good to come to church dressed up. I think that's proper. Got your Bible in your hand. Got that walk, if you will. That fundamental Baptist walk. I don't know. But you got that walk. You know, and truth of the matter is, in a place like this, it's easy to go ahead and really look the part. You know, and you can fib some of us or whatever for a little while, and truth of the matter is, you know your heart, Christian. It's easy to go ahead and stand publicly for him in a place like this, but how about tomorrow? When you go punch in at your job site, how about tomorrow? When people see you maybe reading your Bible at break time, are you ashamed of that? Are you afraid of the fact that, well, they'll make fun of me if I do that? When you sit down at a lunchtime there in your break room, will you pray before your meal? Are you willing to take a public stand? Hey, you know what I'm saying tonight, we'll get back on track here. The Lord's Supper is a time of identification. I belong to Jesus, amen? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to go ahead and be what Jesus wants me to be. I'm not ashamed of Jesus one bit. Hey, it's a chance for us to boldly identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us that those who know him are not to be ashamed of him. You know, the world may call us foolish. Let the world laugh. Let the world mock. The world may say, go ahead and do this, and say, you're a big loser. Let me just stop and say this. You know, at the end of the day, who will be the loser? Think about it. The world may call us foolish. They may say that we use the Lord as a crutch. But regardless of what they say, we need to take our stand with a redeemed and loudly proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ. Publicly stand. It's a time of identification. Identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's a time of commemoration. It's a time of contemplation. It's a time of identification. And it's a time of declaration, declaring salvation. In verse number 26, the scripture reads, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It's a time to declare salvation. The verse reminds us that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are declaring his death and resurrection to new generations of people. This service is a prime time to declare the gospel message to those who do not know it. Why is it that we preach a gospel message? Why is it that we go ahead and have an altar call? We proclaim it so that men and women and boys and girls will have the opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ as all of us, I trust, as all of the redeemed have done. And I hope everyone here tonight, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb tonight. But why is it? It's a time of declaration. It's a time to preach the gospel message. It's a time to proclaim it so that men and women and boys and girls will have the opportunity to believe. So, you know, let's determine that we will ever remind his lost and dying world that there's only one source of salvation, and that his name is Jesus Christ. Only one source. It's not a religion, by the way. It's a relationship. That's what it is. Why is it that we can sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound with a whole heart? Why is it that we can sing I Heard an Old, Old Story, How a Savior Came from Glory, Victory in Jesus with a whole heart? Why is it that we can sing the old songs of faith with a whole heart and declare it and sing it out? Because we have trusted in one source of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not an idol. It's not a car. Those people will go ahead and worship things and stuff and idols and so forth. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Hey, it's Jesus Christ that saves. Who are you trusting in tonight? Who are you trusting in tonight? Hey, it's a time of contemplation, time of identification, a time of commemoration, a time of declaration. You know, in a day when churches become seeker-friendly, and churches have abandoned the doctrines of salvation by grace through faith alone, you know, we must determine that as long as there's breath in our bodies, and let me just say this, this preacher will determine tonight, as long as there's breath in my body, that I'm not going to water down the plan of salvation. I'm not going to remove the key doctrine, the important doctrine of salvation. I've got to strive to protect the message of the gospel in this church. And we must strive to protect the message of the gospel in this church. Hey, you know what? I've said it time and time again. I know from whence we started. We started with the gospel. And bless God, we're going to end with the gospel. Amen? I'm not going to compromise to draw a crowd. I'm not going to change my preaching to draw a crowd. I'm not going to change my soul winning to draw a crowd. You know, I'd rather preach to a few than drag a whole crowd behind me to a Christless eternity. Amen. Let me just say that again, just so that we know just where we stand tonight. I'd rather preach to a few and not compromise instead of dragging a whole bunch of people to a Christless eternity. Listen, you know what? I take this business of serving God, and it is a business, so to speak, because Jesus says I must be about my Father's business. And I take this business of serving God very, very seriously. We have a responsibility to go ahead and declare the gospel message tonight. We have a responsibility to go ahead and tell people the lost about Jesus Christ and the saving power of Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ alone. We have the responsibility. We hold the truth tonight. We've got it right here in our hands. Hey, you know what? We must be declaring the truth. We're doing really well here. It is a time of expectation. As we go through observing the Lord's Supper here, I also, you know, I think of Calvary. I think of all the steps of Calvary. But you know what? Jesus isn't on that cross anymore. We know the rest of the story. Guess what? He won. Amen? The devil thought he had him. He didn't. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And guess what? He lives forever with his saints to ring. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And guess what? It's a time of expectation. Guess what? He's a coming back. He's a coming back. Boy, I sit there And I'm thinking, I'm looking at that bread and I think of his broken body. And I sit there and I look at that cup and I think of the shed blood, him dropping every drop of his, shedding every drop of his blood for me, for this whole world. And guess what? I think of him going to the cross. I think of him dying on that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his back on his own son. And Jesus died and he was put in there into that, that tomb, if you will. And he rose again. And guess what? One day, my friend, he is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, my friend, listen to me. You know what? I'm telling you, it's not this preacher's way. It's not a religion's way. But let me tell you something here. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Hey, you know what? We can show you the way, the truth, and the life. No man that cometh unto the Father but by him. That's Jesus Christ. Hey, we can show you that tonight. Hey, I encourage you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't delay. Don't delay. Because let me ask you, let me just say this. You know what? There's going to be a time. And I'm not a prophetic kind of guy necessarily. I believe in prophecy. Don't misunderstand me. But I believe the time's soon. I believe, boy, when you look at and you even study Revelation and Daniel, see how things are kind of lining up. Boy, I tell you, it's going to be soon. Are you ready? The time that we call communion is a time to remember. A time that we call communion is a time to contemplate. A time that we call communion is a time to identify. A time that we call communion is a time to declare the gospel message. And it's also a time of expectation. And then this is the longest point of my night here, number six, is a time of examination. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians there, in verse number 27, let's read starting with verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's a time of examination. All the other truths that I preached about just a few moments ago are very important. This is probably, I think, the most serious of them all. Probably one of the most important ones of them all tonight. Here is a time of examination. It's a warning to you and me. The Lord's Supper is a time of not just reflection and worship, if you will, but it's a time of self-examination. It's time to check yourself out a little bit. It's time to go ahead and you might feel like you're not, you know, spiritually not feeling well. It's time to go to the spiritual doctor. Check yourself out a little. We're warned against partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Let me tell you what this can mean. Number one, it's a warning to the lost. It's a warning to those who do not know Jesus as Savior. The Bible says, let me just read it again, whosoever therefore eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's a warning to the lost. No one who has not been saved, this is just a warning here. No one who's not been saved should partake in the Lord's Supper. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, it's a warning. All it is it's a warning, and you ought to take heed to it. No one who's not been saved should partake of the Lord's Supper. Another warning, it's a warning to the backslider. When we come to the Lord's table with sin in our lives and some guilt and some junk, if you will, in our lives, we open our lives up to God's judgment in verse number 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning. Talking about judgment there, we open up our lives to God's judgment. He will chasten his children when they profess to be right with God, and yet they're harboring sin in their life. He will chasten. He'll judge. He has the final say, if you will. As I mentioned before, we can play the part and look the part and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know your heart. The deacon does not know your heart. The leadership Or the Sunday school teachers don't know your heart, but God knows your heart this evening, Christian. You know what? What this can mean, it's a time of examination. It's a warning to the lost. It's a warning to the backslider. And it's a warning against taking this, the Lord's Supper, lightly. Too often people will come to the Lord's Supper and will not take time to search their hearts. You know, when you're there, it's a very serious time. You're there and you pick up that bread, thinking and reflecting on the Lord's body. It's not a time to take lightly. You take that juice, commemorating a picture, if you will, of the Lord's blood. It's not a time to take lightly. And oftentimes, when you're there, you ought to be searching your heart. You know, we announced the Lord's Supper a few weeks ago. Boy, you know, at that time, you should have been searching your heart. God, whatever's in the way, weed it out. God, I don't want to take the Lord's Supper lightly. I don't want to be judged, if you will. There might be some sin in your heart. They won't consider the great sacrifice, if you will, by taking it lightly. They won't consider the great sacrifice Jesus gave for their redemption. Maybe we could be guilty of going through the emotions, but ignoring the emotions. Others participate in it, as I mentioned a few times earlier, ritualistically. Not with their minds and hearts. Others trust a ceremony to save them and fail to trust the one in whom the ceremony points to. Others come with bitterness and hatred in their hearts toward other believers. And all of these are dangerous and can bring chastisement of God in your life. It's a time of examination, Christian. That warning, as I mentioned before, now just say it one more time, three things. It's a warning to the lost. It's a warning to the backslider. And it's also a warning against taking it lightly. When we take of the Lord's Supper in a manner which degrades the truth behind the celebration, we're guilty of trampling underfoot the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When someone takes the American flag, lays it out, tramples all over it, you know they're doing more than just damaging a piece of cloth. They're dishonoring our country. And from a Christian's point of view, the same is true about the Lord's Supper. Just kind of take it lightly. Just another ceremony. Just another event that we do at Faith Baptist Church. The Bible's very clear. The Bible's very clear right here. Don't take it. There's some sort of sin that you're harboring in your life. Boy, I urge you, God, forgive me. Guess what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is just lay it out at the altar. Boy, I urge you, don't take it lightly. Paul's warning is serious. You know, he's reminding the Corinthian people that some of their number is dead, because they came to the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. In verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep means death. He's reminding the Corinthian church, if you will, that some are dead because they partook of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. You know, the remedy is to examine ourselves. I ask you tonight, just a few moments, we're going to take of the Lord's Supper. I ask you tonight, search your heart. Search your heart. Sometimes we go ahead and we go into it just sometimes blindly. What is it? It's a time to remember, commemorate. It's a time to contemplate. It's a time of expectation. It's a time of declaration. It's a time of examination. I can't search your heart for you. I can pray for you. But Christian, the responsibility lies on you. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as Savior, why not make the Lord's Supper night that night? Why not? You know, the Bible's so clear, and we'd have someone show you from the precious Word of God how to be a part of the greatest relationship in the world, the Christian life. Well, what a great relationship it is. What a joy it is to serve our Jesus. Christian, if you've got some things that you need to lay out at the altar, boy, I urge you in just a little while, why don't you deal with it? You know, it may be a relationship problem. It might be, Christian, that there's someone in the church that you're not getting along with. Let me ask you a question, just common sense question. Is it right? Is that right? Is that the right way to behave to each other? Might be that it's not a bad idea to have a little revival at the altar and you grab a hold of that person and say, hey, let's go pray about this. I'm so sorry that I've wronged you, or whatever the case may be. Might be a husband and wife with a little strife in your home. A little strife between you two. Maybe that you just need to come together and just come to the altar and just talk about it. If you remember as a child, when my mother yelling to me, supper time, go wash up before you eat. Wash up for supper. And tonight I'm urging you, church. The Lord's telling you tonight, it's time to wash up for supper. It's time to wash up for supper. Probably the most precious time is this time that's coming. Every teenager, boy, take this seriously. Sit back and reflect upon what Jesus has done for you. Mom and dad, church member, whoever you are this evening, if there's some things you got to take care of, deal with it. And be a partaker of the Lord's Supper. Tonight I ask you, are you saved? If you're not, boy, why don't you make tonight the night of salvation? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Are there some hidden things in your life that need to be dealt with? Is there any problem between you and another Christian? Are you ready to receive the bread and juice with a heart of true worship for the Lord, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Our Heavenly Father. A little bit unique service, Sunday night service, Lord, but this is a really precious time. I pray that we'd make it precious. I pray, dear God, that you'd go ahead and, Holy Spirit, whatever needs to be done tonight before we even go into observing the Lord's Supper, I pray, dear God, that we deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. We'll give ample time for it. We're not in a hurry. Holy Spirit, we want you to do your perfect work tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's someone here tonight, they don't know you as Savior, tonight would be the night. Pray they wouldn't linger any longer. Pray they'd have the courage to come forward, shake the preacher's hand, say, Preacher, I want to be saved tonight. I want to be a child of God. Maybe there's some Christians here tonight that just need to take care of business. Wash up for supper. I pray, dear God, that I know there's all walks of life here this evening, many different heartaches, many different things going on in each heart. Some are the best in knowledge of living right, doing right, being what you'd want them to be. Pray, God, you'd help them continue to do so. Heads about, our eyes are closed, maybe here tonight. We're taking the time that we need. I am early. We're doing just fine. Maybe here tonight, you'd be honest with me, and I will not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. I love you, and I care about you. Say, preacher, sat under the preaching. Several times I've heard you preach the gospel. Every time I hear the salvation message, there's a prick in my heart. The Holy Spirit's doing something. Truth of the matter is, preacher, if I was fully honest, I don't know for sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I certainly would like to know. I won't embarrass you, but if that is you tonight, would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. I won't call you by name. But would you just go ahead and indicate your condition by a raised hand? Anybody at all? Maybe here tonight, church, according to that last question, I trust that everybody here tonight knows Jesus as Savior. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything between you and the Savior, church, Christian? Christian, is there anything between you and the Savior tonight? There's something that you need to deal with. Say, preacher, yeah, I'll admit it by a raised hand. Would you just please pray with me? I won't embarrass you, but would you just please pray with me about it? Anybody like that at all? Here's my hand. Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless this invitation. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Just a few moments, we will partake of the Lord's Supper. But I would ask you, if you maybe you are